Welcome to Evolutionary Men, where we learn to lead in life and love with head, heart, and guts. This is for men wanting to deepen their presence in the world, clarify their purpose, more easily connect with their power, and find ease in dating and relationships. I'm your host, Jason Lang. Let's get started. I'm excited to announce that doors are now open for the men's group experience. This is your chance to join a powerful brotherhood of men ready to grow, lead, and live with purpose. If you're done playing small and ready to rise, this is where it starts. Just head over to mens.group to learn more.
All right, and welcome back. So super pumped to be back for another installment of the Heart of Shadow series with my main man, Luke Adler here, the co-facilitator of our Heart of Shadow program. And today we kind of want to take a nuanced discussion of, you know, why it is men often fear coming forward emotionally. This shows up everywhere, but particularly with a lot of the men we work with, shows up in their relationships sometimes with their intimate partner, shows up with other men. And I think we're right on, I guess, the edge of some kind of new way of being for men that, you know, we're certainly very supportive of, but that isn't very clear yet and causes some pain along the way. And I think one place we've just been talking about this that we'll explore today is, yeah, in intimate relationships, this idea that oftentimes, our partners of men we've worked with, and, you know, I would argue in the culture at large, there's kind of this idea that women, you know, we're talking kind of hetero relationships here, but that women want to feel their men being more vulnerable. I want to feel him more. I want him to be more emotional. I want to feel his vulnerability. And that a bind we've seen is then men sometimes do that and their partners don't actually like it. And it kind of puts them into this catch-22 of, wait, what? I thought you wanted that. And then they bring it forward. And a partner might actually get freaked out or shut it down or withdraw or react in some way. And so we're going to speak about that and some of these other reasons here today.
It's, I think, uniquely challenging for me sometimes because I get protective of men. You know, we do this work. Professionally, we're working to help men become more emotionally literate, more skillful in articulating their feelings, more skillful at holding space for themselves, for their partners, their family, coworkers, friends. And then when I hear this happen to a man, he's wanting to share something with his partner or someone else who's close to them, and he gets shut down by his partner, literally told, don't do that, don't show emotion. Or manipulated in some way, like gaslit, meaning he's told that what he's feeling is incorrect or not accurate, or he's being needy. It's hurtful to hear that because, you know, Jason, you and I work so hard to help men come out of the shell, come out of the cave of storing their pain, that, you know, for a man to get beat down back into it is disheartening, but it shows us that this work is not just about an individual man. It's about culture. And, I literally had someone tell me last week, a man in his early 60s, he had a bunch of physical health issues. And I started to sense there was some emotional stuff. And I said, hey, you know, is there a place you can share this? And he said, anytime he brings it forward to his wife literally says, stop it right now. Don't do that. And he explained to me that his wife's father was from World War II, a generation where you definitely stored your pain. It wasn't appropriate socially to show emotion because it was truly a time of survival. And it was a great reminder that culturally, you know, some of these traditions are rooted, you know, in not so distant distant past. You know, and this was a gentleman who was in Vietnam. And he said, you know, a World War II vet and a Vietnam vet, very different, very different mentality, very different culture. And I could really respect that. And he had an understanding of it too. Nevertheless, this man was still very much suffering because a lot of his physiological dysfunction was linked in not having a place to put his emotion. And so he would tell me he would spend hours mowing the lawn, gardening, just to have time in nature, right? And this is what a lot of men do. They'll exercise a lot. They'll get out into nature. You know, these are kind of healthier coping mechanisms, right? But they're still not addressing the wound and the problem that is, you know, widespread, right? This is a cultural issue where men, even as they're doing the work, coming to men's gatherings, whether it's with us or, you know, a number of other wonderful men's offerings, you know, they come back into their lives and the problem is still there.
Yeah. And this is so widespread. And so, again, want to give the kind of high level here. I've talked about a lot, and we've talked about a lot of, we're getting hit from many angles here as men. There's the cultural layer. There's the preconceptions of what a man is supposed to be. From a young age, a lot of men get kind of stuffed, so to speak, like we've talked about, into the man box of don't show weakness, always be tough, don't emote. And paradoxically, then, you know, one of the only places we're supposed to be emotional is with our intimate partner, right? They're often sharing that. They want that. So a lot of men have nowhere to bring it. They finally bring it to their intimate partner. And this is not the case with every woman. So I want to make that super clear here. But just like not every man, because, you know, I work with them, has the capacity to hold space yet until they've done a little bit of work on their nervous system, their ability to set boundaries, their ability to be present. This is something, you know, some of us are more naturally inclined for and some have to train in. But some women don't really know how to hold space, particularly for a man in his emotional pain. So they're wanting to feel more connected to him emotionally, but then he finally brings it forward and it actually freaks him out. And like you said, like her, that shut it down in some capacity or say, I just can't hold you in that. I've had countless stories from clients of that. And I think this puts men in this deep kind of bind they're in of, well, then what do I do with this stuff? Well, I got to, escape it by doing high performance sports or getting out into nature or porn or weed or the various things we've talked about. And kind of what we want to point to here is maybe some lessons learned, certainly from my own experience, and that we're starting to see in, you know, the work we've done with clients as to, how do we deal with that problem of, as men, you know, why are we so afraid to come forward with our emotional selves? And how do we create healthy containers to do that in, including into our, in our intimate relationship? And I do think, you know, our partners have to have a certain amount of capacity to be able to hold space. And with that, just like it takes it for us as facilitators of the work, and for men, you know, but for women too, you have to have some capacity for boundarying yourself, right? This is some work I had to do pretty heavily last year of realizing that just because my partner's nervous system was in a state, I didn't have to meet her in that to support her. So my nervous system didn't actually have to take on that dysregulation in order to be present in my connection with her. And I actually had to learn the boundary of like, okay, what she's feeling, she gets to feel right now. I don't have to have that experience. And I think that's a muscle that sometimes women don't necessarily have as well, that, okay, he can be in his grief. And that doesn't mean I have to fall into it per se. But then the other key thing I did want to mention is, I think, again, this is the bind. A lot of men particularly haven't felt safe or had the experience of being able to bring forward their vulnerability to other men without it being attacked or shamed or, you know, because of comparison or just the dumb bullshit we get fed. I think sometimes if a man's only place to bring this forward is to his woman, to his intimate partner, it's that that's the most scary for a woman, right? It's, oh, wow, I can feel there's nobody else to hold this with you. And that's can be overwhelming. I mean, even outside intimate relationship, right? I've been in interactions with people who are really in a hard place, and it's like, whoa, there's nowhere else for them right now. It's just me. Suddenly it's like there's a pressure. I'm like, oh my God, their well-being. What if I fuck this up? Da-da-da. And I think partners can sometimes feel that of, wow, I'm the only one holding this with him. Well, that means I have to stay holding space for him. And what happens if I get dysregulated? Is he going to be okay? And that's a lot of pressure. And what we've seen, certainly in the groups you and I have created through the Heart of Shadow, and I've certainly seen in my life and the many struggles I've been through, is the moment that connection is also met, I build that connection, bring that pain to other people, it totally changes my partner's capacity to be with me in it. She can feel that I'm being held in something larger than just our partnership. And I've told a lot of the guys I've worked with, you know, just, we love fucking metaphors, and you know, it's like electric circuitry. There's the single circuit, like, remember the old Christmas lights? They're all in a line. If one light goes out, power on the whole string goes out, right? Like the whole thing doesn't work. And I think that's the bind sometimes men get in of, oh my God, I have nowhere else I feel safe to bring this, so I'm going to bring it to my intimate partner. And then they can feel, fuck, there's no one else holding this. So if something doesn't go right in our connection, like, the whole system's going to shut down. Versus, you know, the newer parallel circuits. It's like, yeah, no, one light can go out and the whole string will stay lit up, right? There's still multiple pathways where it's not all flowing through one conduit. And a men's group in particular, I think, can be that. Right? Suddenly we have different channels to bring this to, and different men have different capacities in the moment to hold us in our pain or whatever might be going on. And when that circuit's online, I have found in my relationship, my partner feels way more relaxed being with me in my experience, and doesn't hesitate in quite the same way.
Yeah. I mean, that concentricity of support that you're talking about is the first thing that's missing in a group dynamic, namely a partnership. And when there's not enough support in a system, and that all compounds upon the partners, the heteronormative, you know, man and woman here, it's just too much. It's too much electricity, like you're saying, Jason, and the circuit's going to blow. It's too much pain for two people to hold alone. And that, of course, can lead to like enmeshment and kind of like an early stage relationship where you isolate from others and you're just kind of holding this private kind of cult of two around your wounds, right? Which eventually just becomes very dysfunctional because it's, again, too much to hold. The beauty of a men's group is you have, you know, you have 6, 7, 8, 9 men who are holding this, offering perspectives. But what we're ultimately doing for each other's nervous system, whether it's the initial catharsis of shadow work or just having the space be held by others, is we're learning to hold space or spaciousness within our bodies for our experience. And this is the distinction you made when we were talking, is that when we then bring our emotion to our women or our feminine partners, and our feminine partner can feel us holding our pain, our grief, our rage, our confusion, she can feel us holding our pain rather than we're saying, here, honey, hold my pain. I can't hold it. Will you hold it for me? She all of a sudden relaxes and goes, whoa, this is a man who can hold his pain. He can articulate it. And I can hold it with him if I want to, but I'm not obligated out of a fear for his survival, his mental, emotional health, to hold this. I feel, oh, my man can hold his world up. Now, that's different than storing or suppressing his pain. That's not what we're talking about. A man who's holding his pain is not holding it and storing it and suppressing it down in his hips and genitals and liver and joints. No. It can come all the way to the surface. I can be wailing, I can be crying, I can be complaining, but I'm simultaneously holding it with awareness, meaning I am aware that I am feeling this right now and I'm okay with that. It's not shattering me. The other thing that arises is that when we gain that ability to hold our pain, and we come to a partner or a person or a friend or a patient or a coworker, and we decide, you know what? I'm going to share this with them. And let's just say our partner can't hold it. They're unable to. They don't want to. And they start to behave with us in an immature way or from their own wounding and survival, most likely. Survival strategy. And they might gaslight us. They might be passive aggressive. They might just be a jerk in some way, you know, a mean. We gain the ability because we're holding space for ourselves, and we have enough awareness through enough work to hold space for the relationship to say to our partner, hey, I'm not going to have this conversation with you if you can't meet me with respect and maturity right now. And that's where, as far as our leadership and skill building, we can grow to that as we dive into this work and have more support and learn to hold space for our experience and the experience of the relationship to be able to navigate when we start to become manipulative with each other or younger parts of ourselves start to come forward to negotiate the relationship when we feel unsafe. So the power of the men's group is not just this place where we can come and emote. It's this place where we're training and we're building the energetic and nervous system strength to hold whatever's moving through us, whatever might be moving through us emotionally, historically, traumatically, sexually, aspirationally, etc.
Yes, so true. You know, a theme I think we really point to that we've spoken about before is this path of building intimacy with these different pieces of ourselves. And part of that skill building we're talking about there is where couples can get in trouble, right? Is when it's my past wounded self relating to your past wounded self and mapping on these wounds of the past onto the present moment. And the real challenge with that is it's not an actual authentic connection based around what's happening between us right now. It's all of my existing wounding. I'm bringing in it's coming forth like it's true right now. You know, this kind of time travel thing we often work with where it's like our body doesn't know the difference between that past moment we were in threat and what's happening right now. And the training you're talking about is we start to build a relationship with our wounding, with our trauma, to become really clear and aware of when it's showing up so then we can take responsibility for it and notice when that part of us is there is, hey, I'm feeling incredibly reactive right now. I don't have the capacity to be here and talk about this. I need to go walk around the block and reset. And then I'd love to dive back into this. Because I notice my nervous system just feels like I'm 5 years old right now. And if I'm 5 years old, we can't get shit done. You know, like that's the honest truth. That skill building is so important. And we get to do that safely, you know, in a group. That's one of the things we really get to practice. We're, you know, with the amount of men we work with and the container we hold, like we have plenty of space for people's wounded selves and young selves. Right, there's a lot of capacity there in a way that is also liberated from. We're not in an intimate relationship with you in the same way, so we don't necessarily, we can still get triggered for sure, but it's not quite as high stakes as with your primary partner. in that. The other thing I just wanted to circle back to, like you said, is I think, because, you know, I've noticed this and we've been talking about this of like, when does a man feel trustable in his feeling and when does he feel less trustable? This is maybe the way I'm thinking of framing this. And I think a big part of that, is on that ability to kind of hold and not be totally collapsed in it. So there's still like an I here, a little bit of my adult self, even with me in that pain. And that, I think oftentimes, particularly when women, you know, I used to get this feedback from my wife. I've definitely heard of it in clients. Like, I want to feel you more. I want you to be more vulnerable. I think we can interpret that as men as, oh, she wants me to share everywhere I'm in pain and everything I'm scared about. Like, when I don't think that's the case. I think what women, and this is what's so confusing for us men, are often asking for is, I want to feel you connected to your emotional experience, to be in touch with it, not stuffing it, not overwhelmed by it, and for you to be okay with it. Right? Like, I'm sad right now. Right? Yeah, I'm so fucking sad right now. That was really hard, what happened at work today, or that fight I had with my friend, or whatever. Which is very different than, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Right? There's like a kind of a collapsing sometimes. And, you know, what I've kind of talked about before, I think particularly for women, it can be hard is, you know, maybe another way to think about this that's been coming up for me is, you know, one of the emotions sometimes we'll work with in men and certainly in couples that I think doesn't necessarily get as much attention as some of the other big ones like shame and anger and grief is disgust. And I think particularly with intimate partners, I've certainly seen it in couples I've worked with and sometimes felt it in myself. If we feel a partner go too far back, almost to like that infantile stage, there's actually a little bit of a disgust, right? Because it's like, oh, I can't. And there's reasons for that. You know, we're biologically programmed, you know, in a sense to avoid that. And so I think if in partnership, we start to feel our partner regress too far back, where there's like their infant energy, it can elicit kind of a disgust reaction versus, you know, yeah, I'm here. Oh man, you know, I can feel my infant that's just like wailing. He's crying. Maybe I'm crying right now, but like, I'm still here. Like such a subtle thing that, you know, you and I are trying to navigate, like how to talk about this. But I think is part of what I'm pointing to here, that we get to train up that capacity with each other as men. And we don't have any safe spaces to do that a lot of the time. So we don't know how to do this. This very nuanced thing of to bring our full feeling self and not to be totally collapsed in it. And that takes, you know, the paradox of that, I think, is it does take a safe environment where we can fully collapse in it with other people consensually holding the space for us, that while they're holding the space, they get to help us build that bridge between being totally in the emotional experience and can you also feel the rest of you now, the adult that can be present in that room with that part of you. And you know, the kind of titration back and forth that we sometimes lead guys through. And then suddenly they have this capacity that builds up of like, okay, yeah, I can feel that part of me here. And that's just a part of me. I'm not collapsing or fusing into that, which then means we can bring our emotional experience to our partners in this very different way, which I am kind of asserting here is I think what they're actually wanting.
I heard a man just last week, he was sharing his process and that he became aware that he was behaving from like a 5-year-old point of view with his partner and acquiescing to all of her needs and, you know, being very gentle and all was attuned and feeling, he used the word, he felt like he was walking on eggshells to try to say things in a way that would make her feel whatever, safe, you know, heard. And when he realized that he had been, you know, kind of participating in this manipulative dynamic, you know, because he wasn't bringing forward his honest truth, which is something for us to touch on now. He used the word, he was sickened, you know, like you said, disgust. He was absolutely sickened by what he had allowed himself to participate in for years. That when she would start to shut down, he would kind of do anything to restore connection, except for bring forward his absolute truth, which was that this was absolutely not working for him. The dynamic, the shutting down, the stonewalling, the kind of abandonment of presence, what I call the silence, or excuse me, the violence of silence. When your partner goes silent on you, there's a kind of violence to that because they refuse to reveal anything. And you're left not knowing where you stand, what's the status of the relationship. So as he sat with his disgust, this feeling of being nauseous and sickened by what he had participated in, he could feel what you and I distinguish as healthy shame. He could feel the remorse, the regret of having behaved in this way, which birthed in him enough awareness to realize he didn't want to ever do that again, right? And that was the gift of disgust in his gaining of awareness of it. And of course, her complaint was that she was repulsed by how needy he was, right? But the problem is she never communicated. So the more she would shut down, the more needy he became because, you know, it was just this awful dynamic of disconnection. As he worked on himself and restored his dignity and got clear about his needs and his desires, he could come forward with integrity, with awareness, with neutrality, you know, not blaming her. He was a full participant in this dynamic to state his needs and what he wanted and risk having the relationship not work out. Ultimately, in these dynamics where we're not bringing our full truth forward, we're trading, you know, pennies on the dollar or peanuts on the feast for love. You know, we're willing to take just a tiny bit instead of the full, you know, the full satiation of connection. And ultimately, when I look at these dynamics, I think, you know, there's self-worth there. There's often dynamics of, you know, not having secure attachment from our parents growing up, not getting the love we needed. So we're willing to take just a tiny bit of love and attention is acceptable to our nervous system and maybe even just feels familiar and safe. So we just won't confront certain things in relationship because we're like, well, this is pretty good. You know, I don't want to risk losing the tiny bit I'm getting. But the nervous system ultimately doesn't lie. The body tells the truth and our health starts to suffer. You know, we can't live on a tiny bit of love. We can't live on, you know, 5% oxygen in the atmosphere. We can't ultimately live with a tiny bit of food. To me, you can survive with shelter and water, right? But you can't thrive without love. You can't. And I've been saying this a lot the last 2 months, but love is, it's scary. It's scary for a lot of nervous systems. Connection is scary. And you know, this work that we're offering, it's not that it's not for everyone. It really is for everyone, but not everyone's kind of ready to open their systems to receive more nourishment from self, from a group of men that love them, from their partners. It's just too much too soon. And so I think that's a place where like traditional therapy, CBT, DBT, dialectic behavioral therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy is really great, because you're just learning, you're learning tools about how to think and contextualize your life. And that's a wonderful place to start doing inner work, where you're just trying to understand at the level of the mind yourself. What's different about what Jason and I offer is that we take it to its furthest depth, meaning once you understand it cognitively, there's this dive, there's this threshold to jump into, to cross, which is the somatic, the nervous system, the body's holding of all this pain. And that's where you really gain the skill and the capacity to live a life that you really, really want to. But you have to kind of arrive at that place. You have to be ready for that, ready to begin to not just intellectually share the truth, but to let that truth resonate through you and into your relationships and build the skills necessary to cultivate psycho-emotional life, spiritual life that is really generative. So this is a very big journey, and you know, I hope we never want to make it sound like it's simple or easy, because it's not. Love is the most difficult pursuit. To love and be loved is so challenging, and it's of course the most worthy challenge to take up. So I just want to spell that out, that you know, if you're resonating with this and you're a little afraid, that's normal, that's good. You should be feeling the nerves around it, and it's all learnable and doable. And there needs to be a sense that, hey, I am ready. I'm ready for this. I want this in my life.
Yeah, I think what's coming up for me there is, like you said, the body doesn't lie. And there's a truthfulness, right? There's a kind of truth that lives in our nervous system in any given moment. And our emotions are kind of the pathway there. They're the signs pointing there. So I think this is one of the key things, again, while sometimes, particularly I'd say nice guys, but really humans, men in general, don't want to bringing their emotional selves forward, is because their emotions tend to point to the truth. And sometimes the truth is, this is not working for me. I cannot live this way. And that's disruptive. Right? Emotions, and like I've talked about before, they can have a disruptive quality to them, right? Because they're meant to cause us to react to our environment, right? It's like a biochemical thing. And a lot of us men, certainly, you know, in my journey of recovery from nice guy-dom and being numb and shut down, I didn't have the nervous system capacity. I just didn't have the experience in my nervous system to realize it's possible to be in conflict with someone and stay in connection. I can be in conflict with you. My emotional experience may be different than the truth of your emotional experience right now. And that doesn't mean I'm going to die. And it doesn't even necessarily mean our connection is over. And the honest truth we're pointing to here is, until that's all on the table, we're not actually even in a real relationship. We're relating to these concepts of each other. And that's like, you know, we're pointing to kind of the Jedi level of bringing yourself forward as a man in relationship. And not everybody is up for that. And not every man is even up for that in terms of just bringing it to the other men and the types of groups we create. But it's where, when we do have the experience of being able to go there, something else becomes possible. Something opens in us. Something actually relaxes in us. And so, there's so many reasons us men often fear bringing that emotionality forward. But I think that is one of them, is it does take a certain resilience to be honest about what we're feeling. and that it may actually, if I bring this forward, I love how you've like, in a sense, framed it so simply. The risk is this could end my relationship. I was really true about this, really brought it forward. This might end my relationship. But that's kind of necessary, I would say, in this deeper level of relating we're pointing to. And then just one last thing I wanted to mention here too, of that you and I were talking about, that I think is another reason I've sometimes seen men hesitate to bring their full emotionality forward, is there's a pretty unique texture, I would argue, and quality to the pain men and the masculine can feel sometimes. And one manifestation of this I've seen, and so this is anecdotal, I'm going to own that. This is just based on my experiences working with men, being in men's groups for a long time, is for many men I have worked with, the idea, it is not uncommon for them to have the thought in some capacity of, I just want to eject from life. I can't do any of this. I just want to leave my fucking family. I want to commit suicide. I want to like drink myself. I just want to go away. It's so overwhelming. I just want to go away and disappear. And I've worked with many men who it's been a huge edge for them to share, like, yeah, I've thought about just ending it. Like, I've actually had these thoughts. And what I'll just share is, I think one of the unique things that is common to not all, but many men is we've felt that in some capacity. And I don't think it quite manifests in the same way for women and the feminine. You know, those two aren't always correlated, but so point being, you know, this is one in particular, I think men are just sometimes afraid to bring forward, like, fuck, I've had thoughts of just like getting the fuck out of this whole game of life. Like, I don't know if I have it in me. Like, oh my God, I don't want to, you know, put that on someone else's feet. Like, what are they going to do? My wife might freak out. Like, but what I have seen is men bring that to other men, and there's just like a, oh fuck yeah. I totally get it. I've been there in my own way, right? There's not even a like, I got to fix you, or, oh my God, we got to call emergency services. You know, there's a time and place for that. But sometimes there's just like, I totally get that. And that being received is such a game changer for so many men. Just like, oh, you understand. I'm not alone in that feeling anymore. And that's one that I think a lot of men have just never quite had enough trust with people around them to necessarily bring forward.
It's why you and I go to such great lengths in Heart of Shadow. And we're always learning more about how to refine the program and how to make it more precise, pristine in a certain sense, for men to feel safe. For a man to feel safe to bring a thought like that, right? And you and I have been in sessions where men have shared that, where men have shared, and the catharsis that comes, like, you know, a man who might have been holding something for 30 years and has never told a soul, and then feels the safety of the group, who he's known these guys for 4 or 5 weeks, and shares something like that, or even more intense than thinking about it in your life. And so we can talk about the Heart of Shadow or shadow work as, you know, a safe place. But I think ultimately the vision that you and I have, that we're dreaming into, is a world where men feel safe and they have the strength, the safety and the strength to share what's true, what's vulnerable, to hold that with integrity in a relationship, to hold that with dignity in their own being, and to begin to create a life, a family structure, to teach their children the same values, and to shape a whole culture and world that is reflective of love, respect, sovereignty for each other and our own unique experience. And that's really our kind of North Star in this work. And we feel like Heart of Shadow is absolutely a crucible for that. And I think it's something just you and I will always be refining that offering, because it does feel like the most important thing, not just for men, but for society to have, is healthy men, healthy masculine presence that can hold vulnerability, dignity, and strength, doesn't have to shy away from it. And our next cohort, I think we're starting sometime in September, at least digitally or online, and then a retreat in mid-November, which you can join the wait list for at this point. Check that out. Keep listening to our podcasts. We're committed to just continuing to create offerings towards that end. And I'll pass it back to you, Jason, for some closeout.
Yeah, just that, you know, I think part of what inspired this episode is we're being asked to step into something new as men, and this capacity to bring forward our emotions, I think, is part of that. And a lot of men are scared to do that. And it's tricky, right? There is a nuance of skill building there that we're not always prepared for when our partners or people in our lives are saying they want more vulnerability from us. It's way more nuanced than that. And sometimes we do that and we get a negative reinforcement from doing that. And so it's put some men in a bind. And what we're trying to just kind of get through your head here is it can be cultivated. It is a skill set. And one of the safest places you can start to build that skill set, we would certainly argue, is with other men in an intentional container. And then as you build that, it's going to be much easier to bring the healthy, grounded version of your full emotional self into your relationship in a way that will actually feel quite good in connecting to your partner and not be a turnoff or something that scares them away or something that causes them to shut you out even more. And, you know, our program, Heart of Shadow, is one place you can certainly build that skill set with us. It's by no means the only one, but it's pretty great. So you can always, you know, you can go to heartofshadow.com to get on the wait list and get information about our when our next iteration launches. And stay tuned. We're going to keep these coming at you guys over the next couple months. As always, my man, a pleasure.
Thanks, brother.
I'm excited to announce that doors are now open for the men's group experience. This is your chance to join a powerful brotherhood of men ready to grow, lead, and live with purpose. If you're done playing small and ready to rise, this is where it starts. Just head over to mens.group to learn more.
You're interested in working with me around dating, relationships, or your masculine presence in the world? Just go to evolutionary.men/apply.